This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I am Jill Rappaport, and this is going to be a very different show today. You know, we're always celebrity-based, stars who have been changed and rescued by their rescues. But now I really want to start to get into topics that involve the animals themselves with animal experts. And we're always talking about dogs and horses, but today it's the cats that we're going to focus on. And I'm really interested to hear about this incredible movement. It's called the Give Them 10 Movement. And it's really fascinating how we interact with our cats and the best way to have cats in our lives. And I have never had a cat or a kitten in my life because I'm highly allergic. And I never realized I was so allergic until I started all my rescue work years ago. And I would spend day after day in shelters all across the country. And of course, I would pet and cuddle up and nuzzle with cats because I love all animals. And I remember as time went on, it was harder and harder for me to breathe. And at one point, I was doing a story for Puppy Bowl, and I was surrounded by cats, and I literally felt like I couldn't breathe at all. And it turned out that I ended up with very bad asthma due to all of my animals in my life. And I am, believe it or not, even slightly allergic to dogs and even more allergic to horses, but cats, severely allergic. Well, thank goodness I take this shot twice a month and I'm able to be around cats now, knock on wood, not cuddle and hold them, but at least I can be in the same room and see them and, you know, watch from afar and not begin to literally gasp for air. So I love cats. I've always loved them. I've just never, because of being allergic to them, been able to enjoy them in this certain way. But I'm very excited that we can focus on the topic of cats today. So when we come back, we're going to meet an amazing woman who has started this movement. She is the founder, the leader, and I know that animals are purring all over because of Deborah Cribbs. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. I'm laughing because as I'm about to do this interview with our next amazing guest, Deborah Cribbs, I see one of my dogs lurking around the corner wanting to get in the act. Scout, just be polite and don't make too much noise. This show is focused on cats. Anyway, you heard in the intro, I'm really excited because we always talk about our doggies and our horses. And this is the first time that I have devoted a whole show to cats and their well-being. And we have an incredible guest on that started one of the most amazing movements in the country that's really catching on to make a difference for them and to teach us how to give them the most wonderful life. And would you believe you should add one to the one you already have? We'll get into that in a moment. But Deborah Cribbs, founder, leader of this incredible movement, so excited to have you on Rappaport to the Rescue.
Well, I'm delighted to be here to talk about cats for the first time.
So great. And you started a movement, literally a movement. Tell us about that.
Well, the way I like to tell the story is that my day job is that I manage money for wealthy people here in the Cincinnati area. And one of my favorite clients was really a lover of cats. I persuaded her to set up a private foundation to take care of cats in the area. And then she died and left a whole lot of money in the care of me and professionals at my bank.
Oh, that's a dream for us animal lovers to get.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, I already had cats. I already was starting to create my own cat colony out in the back of our house, much against my husband's wishes, I have to say. But because this client died so young and we had all of this money with a very, very specific purpose, which was cats in the Cincinnati area, we started looking at it like a business problem. Like, okay, how are we going to be good stewards of this money? And realize, well, cats are being killed in the millions nationally.
And it's much more of a problem to get adopted. I believe it's three times more difficult. There's three times as many kittens and cats in shelters than dogs.
It depends on where you are in the country. Here locally, as you can imagine, we've been doing this for a decade now. Our cat population is, let's say, well-managed, meaning no cat is killed in the Cincinnati area or in about a 100-mile radius for space. We can't say that quite yet about dogs, so we do look at them differently. But we said, how is this as a culture? People who love animals, right? That's what your intro's talking about. We all love animals, and these are companion animals. How is it that in this day and age, we allow these animals, cats and dogs, to be killed in shelters down the street for space?
Listen, you're preaching to the choir here, and I sometimes get beaten up over this. I don't feel that any animal should be euthanized unless they're deeply suffering. And I'm talking even if they have some behavioral issues. There are dogs that we've seen, and I've adopted them, that have bit, have nipped. And I believe, I'll never forget when I worked with Buck Brenneman, the original horse whisperer that the movie was based on. And he came to my home in the Hamptons to do a horse clinic and to teach people about horse welfare. And the first thing he said when he greeted the guest, Deborah, was, "I treat horses with people problems." And isn't that the truth? Like, I think these animals, it's no fault of their own. They've fallen into the wrong hands. And I don't believe any animal should be euthanized unless they're truly suffering medically and cannot be saved, period.
I love that. The way I think of it is that we humans, we started this problem. We call them companion animals. That means a companion to humans. We're the ones that created the problems with the cats, dogs, and horses, for that matter. But these shelters around the country, they don't have the, I'm going to say, wherewithal. And I don't necessarily just mean funding, although they generally say they're underfunded. They don't have, they don't use the proper protocols. They don't take advantage of resources that they could access because they often work in a silo of their own making. So they end up killing animals, euthanizing animals, just because of space. And I will say, Jill, this one really bugs me. This statistic really, really bugs me and hit home. The number of animals killed in shelters in the United States roughly, not exactly, roughly equals the number of animals purchased in the United States. Okay, so that bugs both of us. What does
and
that
both mean? Are severely wrong. Do not purchase, do not kill.
So adopt from a shelter. And why do people not adopt from a shelter? This is more a dog problem than a cat problem because of designer dogs. It's hard for me not to be judgmental on that, but I'm trying really hard not to be judgmental. I understand people want the kind of dog that they want. I get
but
that.
You can get whatever you want in a shelter. I tell people all the time, you want a lab, there's Labrador Rescue. You want a German Shepherd, there's German Shepherd Rescue and Labradoodle Rescue. You
absolutely. And nature nurtures. Pit bulls are not by their nature dangerous. They have been nurtured in some cases to be dangerous, but not by their nature. And cats are a different thing. You know the thing? Well, I'll tell you what we're so proud of. We've been doing this for a decade. We decided to take this vast pool of money and spend about half of it on the ground with shelters. So we have helped build locally high volume spay neuter centers, which is what I like to call the low-hanging fruit of solving the cat problem. It's spay-neuter. So half our money's gone there, and half of it's gone to talking to the public. So we've created this super amazing suite of television commercials. We use them digital and social now. This is trying to talk to the public about how we cannot have this continue to happen. And here locally, we've absolutely succeeded. And we judge it by a real specific number. It's called the live release rate. And this goes for cats and dogs. The percentage of animals that leave a shelter alive, one way or another, they're adopted. Fostering doesn't really count because they're still in the shelter, but they're adopted out largely. And here in the Cincinnati area, our live release rate is in the 96th percentile, give or take, depending.
And for our listeners that don't understand what live release is, explain that.
It is just the percentage of animals that leave a shelter alive. So we count every animal, every nose to tail, every nose that enters the shelter for whatever reason. How do animals enter a shelter? A stray dog is found on the street. Somebody calls, you know, the pound. They get taken into the shelter. Stray cats are taken in kind of by the carload. Or somebody surrenders their pet, largely because they can't afford them anymore. So these are all very well-known things that happen in shelters. And we've got really good protocols to try to help, especially the ones that are surrendering. But all those animals are counted. And if they are euthanized because the shelter has no other ability to take care of them because of space, they have too many, then that counts against the live release rate. And I'll say that for most shelters in the United States, this time of year is the hardest because it's kitten season. This is when it's warm, is when mama kittens have baby kittens and the shelters are flooded with either kittens that people, we call it kitten napping, that people think they're doing the right thing and they take little baby kittens, 6, 7, and take them into a shelter because mama wasn't there. Mama's there. She's getting food. She's
exactly.
She's there. Don't touch them. But shelters get overwhelmed. And largely the number of cats euthanized in a well-run shelter tends to be neonate kittens. They are very, very hard to care for if mama isn't present. So all kinds of things, but live release is how we measure success. And again, we've been doing this a decade. We've had a lot of success locally. We spread out kind of from our own area. And this part of the Midwest is in very good shape, except for some rural areas, which are kind of hard to control. But now we've started allowing all of our super cool commercials to be licensed in other parts of the country. So we are starting to see the message spread.
It's amazing that you said you're doing so well in the Midwest there, because it's a huge problem on the East Coast.
Huge. So on the East Coast, you find it's cats or dogs or both. That's a problem.
Well, I tell you, I'm amazed because I work with many shelters. We have so many cats and kittens, and I'm amazed at what goes into, you know, caring for them. And when they are brought into the shelter, it seems to me that they're harder to get adopted than our dogs.
I don't know in that part of the country what the statistics are. That absolutely could be. There are still millions, literally, of cats and dogs being euthanized nationally. So in your part of the country, I don't know the exact statistics, but I imagine the kitten season is rough in the Hamptons as well. And partly because, like I said, people bring kittens without mama. Now, if mama seems unstable in some way, maybe in a unsafe place by a road, whatever, although that'd be unusual. Mamas usually know where to put their kittens. Take mama and the kitten into the shelter. But again, the shelters get overwhelmed and they believe that the only choice they have is to euthanize, when in fact, I'm going to say it again, largely a well-run shelter knows all the protocols and tools, and you got to get the public involved. I mean, do you think in the Hamptons, if you advertised on whatever means, you know, let's say Facebook, if every other day on Facebook, the local shelter said something like, hey, we got in a litter of mama and kittens and we don't have the ability to take care of them. Who can help? I mean, if people understood the dire straits some of these animals are in, I think they'd reach out. And you know what's interesting? In the 10 years that we've been doing this and running our campaigns, boy, advertising and marketing has changed, hasn't it, in the world?
Oh, yeah.
It's about podcasts. That's how we get our information now, right? And advertising is about digital. it's about social. So exactly, a social campaign with whatever the theme is, or just tell the public that you got a problem.
Or television, if it's a big enough network and a big enough reach, if it's focused on rescue with heartfelt stories, with a little celebrities thrown in. I know, because I did this for years on the Today Show, and I had a 100% adoption rate. I went on with any dog, any animal, gone. And not only that, what it, my show, my segment proved is that adoption would go up all over the country because my five animals were gone in a nanosecond. There were thousands of phone calls, but it made people reminded them what they have to do in their community. Wow, look at that dog. If that dog is available in New York, maybe one's available in Ohio. But your messaging, I want to talk about this movement because you created this and it's so clever and interesting. Talk to me specifically about the movement and what you're trying to teach us about cats.
Well, the idea was to stop cats from being killed in shelters. So we looked at it and we thought, this is a business problem because, you know, we're bankers. How can we look at this like a business rather than just looking at it as a heartfelt feel-good story? So we did decide we need to talk to the public. And we decided, understanding that spay-neuter is the key to the cat problem anyway, for sure. I think it's also the key to the dog problem. But we decided that we needed to get the public on board all the time. And we decided to be edgy and funny. And so we have a spokescat, Scooter, the neutered cat.
Scooter, the neutered cat. Yes.
Scooter, the neutered cat. He has hips, spectacles, and no testicles. And he speaks on our behalf. Our movement is called Give Them 10. Get it? Cats have 9 lives. Give them one more. So he speaks on our behalf. And we have a Scooter mascot that actually has a person-sized Scooter. And we have a suite of commercials that actually have cats. And Scooter is in the commercials, starring in the commercials.
I love that.
We start going to the public and we just tell them, spay-neuter is the key to taking care of cats. And another message that we've run with is a little bit counterintuitive, but this is the low-hanging fruit of the spay-neuter world. Community cats. If you have colonies of what we used to call feral, and now we say community cats, who are thriving, alive, managing, whether with a human feeding them or not, just get them fixed. Spay-neuter them. The colony will take care of itself, or it'd be great if there's a human feeding them. That's great. But if humans feed cats outside and they're not fixed, what happens? Mamas are healthier. What happens to healthier mamas? They have more babies. So in a way, if you're feeding these cats but not fixing these cats, you're perpetuating the cycle of problems.
Well, it's amazing to me because these are things we think we should know, but so many people don't. And there's so many other initiatives in your movement that are fascinating to me. Why is it important, in your opinion, and with this movement, that if you have one cat, get another?
Well, anybody, Jill, who's a cat person, especially with indoor cats, you know, with cats taken out of their natural environment living with us, they can get bored. And bored cats can have behaviors that you may not love, including just flipping their tail at you looking bored. So we started a campaign last year that was Get a Cat for Your Cat. And we have some really funny videos that just show, you know, do you have a cat that looks bored? Do you have a cat that stares at you looking for attention, that jumps on your keyboard? Well, if you get a cat for your cat or adopt two cats at once, you're probably going to have a happier household because the cats will actually play with each other, entertain each other. Not that they don't bond with their humans. They do. You're feeding them. They will bond with you if you feed them. But that's been actually a very good message for the public. Like, hey, a single cat may be the right thing. There are some cats that we all understand. I have one who would really prefer to be an only cat. She's not, but she would prefer to be. We get it. But I would say probably most cats are probably going to be happier in your house if they have friends. So, yes.
And you're saving another life, not only the one that you already have, but you're going out to rescue, adopt another one, which is so important. And you mentioned your cats. How many do you have, Deborah?
We only have 2 now, Jill. My husband and I went from a big house to a condo a couple of years ago, and we had 2 left in our house, one inside And then we had had a colony of community cats outside. I say a colony, the biggest number I think was four. But there was one guy left and he's there right now. He's been converted to an inside cat. And have you ever seen when we fix cats who are outdoor cats, like in a colony, we do a little ear tip, we call it. We take off a tiny tip of the ear. That signifies that that cat has been fixed, so that anybody trying to help in a community cat colony will know, okay, that one's fine. That one's been fixed, because then that cat won't be trapped again.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting to me. I mean, obviously you don't have dogs right now, right? Just cats. Did you ever have dogs?
No.
So you've always been a cat household, and your husband loves cats too, obviously, supports your mission of the heart.
Learned to, yeah. But I will say, people that really don't like cats, and I understand you have an allergy.
Oh, I love them. I just wish I could have them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but people who say they don't love cats, I would argue don't know cats and have never lived with cats, because my husband would not have said he was a cat guy. He is such a cat guy now.
So amazing. Well, with this movement, you know, you're doing so many things to educate people. And I believe you are, how many counties are you in now throughout the country?
Oh, gosh. In this greater area, it's got to be more than 20. And around the country, we've signed licenses for our marketing materials, our campaigns, in an additional, I think it's 10 or 15.
Oh.
So we're marching around the country now. I go to national animal welfare conferences and speak, and I show all our super funny advertising campaigns. And I think the participants at these conferences like my sessions because they're funny and videos, you know, are fun to watch.
Yeah, because when people hear, oh, the numbers are so bad, all these animals are going to get euthanized, they can't handle it. I can't handle it. So we have the job of educating people, giving a happy message to the plight.
Right. And I think, you know, we chose humor, like edgy humor. But in fact, and you know, I think today, Jill, in today's world, aren't there so many problems that we cannot solve? You and I cannot bring peace to the Middle East. I know I certainly can't. But you know what we can solve right now in our communities in the United States? This is actually a problem. Animals being euthanized. We can actually solve this. This isn't that hard. We know in the animal welfare movements, we know exactly how to do it. It's really not insurmountable. We've certainly done it in the Cincinnati area, and it sticks. I will say, communities that solve the problem generally don't backslide, because they get the muscle memory of happiness and pride that they've taken care of this problem, and more people join in. And you know, like you said, you lead with humor. When people understand that either something is going well or that it can be fixed, they do seem to want to jump in, more than if we say, oh my God, we've got a problem that's so insurmountable, we can't solve it. We can solve this.
Well, you are doing it. And first of all, bless that woman's heart who left you the funds so that you could begin your mission of the heart and truly make a difference for these cats. And the fact that you are in already 20-something counties and 11 states says that this is a movement that is growing. What is your ultimate dream for this campaign and for this move?
I love dream. I would love to see the live release rate in the United States be above 90% in every part of the country. I would love for Scooter the neutered cat to be known, because he is a cat advocate. He's a cativist. I'd love for Scooter the neutered cat to be known nationally. And when people see Scooter on an ad somewhere, they're like, oh yeah, that's the guy that says it's cool to get snipped.
I love this. Well, this has been so great just to first and foremost do a show based solely on cats, to have someone of your expertise, your knowledge, and your passion to make such a difference for these cats ultimately around the world. Right, Deborah?
I certainly hope so. And talking to you has been quite an honor.
Oh, thank you. And you are showing firsthand what you have done. You have put this woman's money where your mouth is and literally are changing and saving lives all over your community and many communities. And where can people find out more? Where can they donate? How can they help? Give us that information, Deborah.
GiveThem10.org is our website. And if you look up Scooter the Neutered Cat, you'll find our YouTube channels to watch our ads, which are really, really funny. And if you want to donate, go to your local shelter and help them.
And also spread the word about you so that you can be in every state.
Absolutely. Scooter rocks. He should be in every state.
Well, so do you, Deborah Cribbs. And I cannot thank you enough for educating our audience and letting people know how amazing these kittens and cats are and why it is so important that we have to all do our part to help save them as well.
Thanks for your part. Thank you.
Deborah Cribbs, you're incredible. Your movement is moving on and doing great work. And thank you all. And we hope you enjoyed this fascinating podcast all about kittens and cats on Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.